रामाय राम भद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः। आयदेकान चैप्टर नंबर 22 लक्ष्मणा कॉम्ड। रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ। Rama was the absolute master of his thoughts and emotions, the omnipotent lord of the worlds. His iron will never allow the least sign of it to escape him. None lay nearer to his heart than Lakshmana. Lakshmana was never very remarkable for patience under restraint. Angry fires shot from his eyes as from the red mouth of a volcano. He hissed forth burning sighs even as an infuriated lord of serpents. Yet Rama forgave him all, forgot all. Was he not his brother, his friend and companion, the darling of his heart and sore stricken with grief? So he turned to him and said, Lakshmana, what has become of your wonderful self-control and marvelous fortitude? Your indignation at the king's conduct and your poignant grief on my account, bury them deep, fathoms deep in your heart. Say not, what on the eve of your coronation when everything is ready towards it and the joy for millions on the tiptoe of expectation, unspeakable shame it were if the insulation does not come off. It is not due to any fault of ours, to any want of courage or valor on our part. Rather, should we rejoice greatly that we are chosen to fulfill our father's promise and win for him the seats of the righteous. So, stay the preparations that are afoot towards my consecration and busy yourself with such things as will enable me to carry out our father's behests. Let me see you as enthusiastic and active in making the necessary arrangements for my departure to the forest as you are now in bringing about my coronation. My mother grieves overmuch that I am prevented from sitting on the throne of the Ikshvakus. She doubts my safe return after 14 years. Assure her that it is but a light task for Rama to fulfill his promise to his father and return from the forest in no time. She need not vex herself for such a trifle. Wipe away her tears and bring peace and consolation to her pained heart, for I cannot bear to see my mother doubt and suffer. I never knew till now what it is to cause the slightest grief or worry to my father or my mother's. Our father ever speaks truth. He never goes back upon his promise. Endowed with a might and valor that never fails his purpose, he might be induced to doubt whether the high worlds of the gods are open to him if his plighted word is not kept. And is it not our sacred duty to keep away from him even the faintest suspicion of it? If my coronation be not cancelled, my heart may be pained to think that his sworn word to Kaikeyi goes for nothing, and it will wring my heart most cruelly. So I wish to stop the preparations towards my consecration and start to the woods this very moment. Let the daughter of the Kaikeya monarch see her hopes realized and seat her son Bharata on the throne of the Ikshvakus. It will do her heart good to see me take my way to the forest, clad in deer skin and bark of trees, with my hair matted and coiled on my head. Nothing can shake my resolve to renounce the throne and seek the dark depths of Dandaka. Pain me not further. I assure you that I put this town behind me and set my face towards the abode of the saintly rishis. Look sharp. Till now, I assigned dharma as the sole motive of my actions, but there is a greater and nobler one. It is not Kaikeyi that deprives me of this kingdom, nor restores it to me at the end of 14 years, but the Lord. We but waste our breath in cursing her. The Lord put such a notion into her head. Else, why should she seek to harm me all wantonly, as you think? Know ye not that I make no difference among my mothers? Each one of them is as much entitled to my love and reverence as she that bore me. Even so, Kaikeyi makes no difference between me and Bharata, yet she could speak such harsh words and cruel to stop my coronation and banish me to the wild woods. Need I seek for any other likely reason than that the Lord has chosen? for some inscrutable purpose of his, to change her very nature. Gifted with many a natural grace of mind and heart, with the blood of noble and mighty monarchs in her veins, adorned with compassion, generosity, and other excellences that became one of her rank, why should Kaikeyi behave like the meanest of her sex, low-bred, wicked, and cruel? It matters not if she speaks so to any other but to her lord and husband. It matters not if she sends word through a maid or a slave of hers, but herself and to his very face. Would she ever dream of giving utterance to words pregnant with countless woes to me, upon whom the king and herself have lavished their love and care till now, even to the very verge of partiality? Does she suggest it or hint it? No, she does not mince matters. She never tires of repeating it. Is it so very difficult to see the finger of the Lord in this? None dare set himself up against his will, whose ways are mysterious past understanding. I owe it to the Lord that this crown slips from my hands when they are about to grasp it. I owe it to the Lord that her heart is turned against me quiet. Say not, what is destiny or fate when pitted against the might of our will? We see it not. We but trace its course through its works. There is no armor against fate. None care to throw themselves before the resistless wheels of its car. It underlies all such inscrutable mysteries as joy and sorrow, serenity and anger, gain and loss, birth and death. Mighty sages, such as Vishwamitra, bent their dauntless hearts and iron wills to stern tapas, age-long and unparalleled. They counted without fate, became the slaves of their passions, lost their serenity and peace of heart, and ended by falling headlong from the glorious spiritual heights they had scaled through millenniums of travails and effort. It is but destiny that raises before our efforts an impassable barrier and saying, "Thus far thou shalt go and no further," directs our energies to some other purpose we never dreamt of. Full of this conviction, I never allow my peace of heart to be ruffled by gusts of joy or sorrow, and this coronation, if it is cancelled, affects me not in the least. Do likewise. Put away grief and anger from you. See that the preparations towards my installation are stopped. Let the sacred waters brought from all over the world for my consecration bath now serve me for the preparatory rites and baths towards my departure to the forest. Nay, not so. Perhaps Kaikeyi may come to misconstrue it as a ruse on my part to consecrate myself secretly as a ruler of this realm. So I will have nothing to do with the holy waters that are, of a truth, the property of the king, hence of Bharata. Lakshmana, vex not your mind in the least that we have let this kingdom and its wealth slip through our fingers. It is all one to me if I am the monarch of the earth or a humble recluse of Dandaka. On better thoughts, a forest life is absolutely free from the cares, the misfortunes, and the sins that beset a ruler's path. The rarest object of God's creation meet our eyes there on every side. Hence, I prefer a life in the green woods to an uneasy throne. Lakshmana, I tell you what, no one knows better the boundless mights of destiny. It sits at the heart of Kaikeyi and prompts her to speak harsh and cruel words to us. Now, is it charitable of us to think that she had a hand in stopping my coronation? Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunapdiye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.